Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Virtual Office conference call. My name is Nora, and I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today's call, Ms. Kawal Johal, Industry Analyst Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is Kawal Johal in the Cisco Analyst Relations Department, and once again, welcome to our AR Speaker Series teleconference. In today's presentation, we will have a discussion on how Cisco allows organizations to enable their remote workforce with advanced secure tools. After the presentation, we will have a question-and-answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I wish to thank you in advance for your candid feedback. Today's presenters are Fred Koss and Bob Berlin. Fred is Director of Security Solutions Marketing for Cisco. He is responsible for delivering security solutions that enable Cisco's self-defending network strategy. Bob is Director of Product Management for Cisco and is chartered with product and strategic direction for Cisco's iOS security portfolio. I'd now like to turn the call over to Bob.
Well, good day and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us on this launch date for the Cisco Virtual Office. We have a short presentation to talk about what we're announcing today, why we're doing it, and the elements. Fred and I will be driving this together, and we look forward to your questions at the end of the presentation. So with that, I'd like to introduce my colleague to you, Fred Koss. Fred?
Thanks, Bob. So as Bob said, today we're announcing Cisco Virtual Office, and in the next 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you'll learn a lot more about it. What we're really trying to do is, enable office-caliber productivity for remote workers. And, there's been challenges with remote working, be it productivity, security, and so we've set out to really address some of those concerns with this solution. So if you jump to slide one, talk a little bit about the remote worker environment, some of the things going on. I think one of the first things that we hear from customers is, a desire to, embrace globalization and flexibility in the workforce, whether it's, a worker, across the state or across the country or particularly, around the world, more and more to get the talent and the resources they need, that flexibility to go outside of local geography is becoming more and more important. So, a remote worker solution really enables that sourcing employees and some of those globalization efforts. And we'll talk about some anecdotal examples of Cisco and some of the things we're doing here at Cisco and Cisco to enable that. A day doesn't go by in the recent news where we hear a lot about kind of two topics that are connected. One is, energy consumption, energy use reduction, greenhouse gas emission reduction, CO2 emissions. So there's the energy price, energy consumption, but as well as some sort of green programs we're hearing about. And that really plays to both the end user as well as the corporation. If I'm a corporation, I probably have some sort of green initiative or green programs I'm putting in place to, deal with environmental sustainability. So for instance, here at Cisco, earlier this year in June, we announced that, we were setting out to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by 2012. There's many different things that feed into that. One of those is the enablement of remote workers, and so we've done some calculations on how that can contribute. So there's a corporate side, but also there's the end user side. Employees commuting to work, the price of fuel, congestion, traffic, energy costs, putting great pressure on them to reduce some of those expenses. And so the remote worker capability solves that for them. So there's some nice benefits of both the end user as well as a corporation.
And let me just add, this is Bob. I'm actually coming to you today from my Cisco Virtual Office, and as we get down this presentation, we'll talk about the technology that's enabling that. I'm doing that not only to make the point for our audience today, but I was actually up until about 2 a.m. last night doing some press briefings at Cisco San Jose's telepresence office. So I got back here about 3, obviously not in the mood to go back to work so early, so I'm taking this call from my virtual office, and we'll get into that. I have all the conveniences and services from my other network connections. It's interesting, though, that when we talk about extending offices, in talking with the Russian press last week or last night, there are some folks there who have four-hour one-way commutes right now, and for them, telecommuting is quickly becoming the only way they can get to work.
Yeah, and as Bob kind of introduced, the other thing is we're seeing a tremendous richness of the applications and the kind of things you can do as a remote worker. You know, gone are the days where a remote worker went, I'm at the end of a phone line and don't have good rich connectivity. Things we're seeing with things like WebEx and the collaboration tools, video and other Web 2.0 applications. The fact that you're working remote, you don't lose the functionality or the requirements that you might have to interact with the enterprise. So it becomes very transparent that you're a remote worker, both from a productivity perspective, but as far as being on the network and being involved in some of these collaborations and such. And we're seeing in some geographies where, again, there's more of a drive for corporations to enable remote workers, whether it's congestion reduction, green energy consumption. So there's a push to from a legislative perspective to kind of enable more remote workers. And so so a lot of things pushing on the need for a remote worker solution. And if you jump to the next slide, I think, again, this is maybe in the past not thought of as a serious, effort, but, some of the statistics here point to what we're seeing is, people are really working remote, whether it's extending their day a few hours into the evening or taking a computer home so they can get work done. A tremendous amount of adoption of this flexibility we're seeing. And I think it's a, it's a productivity benefit. A lot of companies also a work-life balance. And so clearly the trends and the end user are beginning to embrace this. But, jumping to slide four, just earlier, one of the challenges I think of being a remote worker from a corporate perspective has been preserving security. I've done, gone to great measures to secure the enterprise, put policies and controls in place so that when you're in the office, you comply with those policies and everything is secure. As I begin to allow access further and further away from the office, I become concerned about, protecting that data and compliance issues or, infecting my network with spyware or malware if you're coming from potentially an insecure location. We've had VPN technologies for a while to make that secure connection. There's still a lot of risk from a security perspective. And so one of the things we really pushed on with the Cisco Virtual Office solution is making sure that we solve the security requirements. And there's a host of different technologies we're using here to do that, whether it's some of the dynamic multipoint VPN technology, some of the split tunneling, which we'll talk about a bit later, some of the authentication. But also I'll touch on one of those, which maybe doesn't sound that security-oriented, is the zero-touch deployment. And as we talk about the solution, you'll come to understand this is very much an out-of-box, plug it in, and you're up and going. And why that I think that has a huge security component is one of the security risks you have is end users misconfiguring or not turning on the right security policy in a wireless access point or having a computer on their home network, which maybe isn't secure. So the zero-touch deployment allows us to really lock down that endpoint configuration and make sure it's secure in addition to all the secure technologies we've built into the solution. So jumping to, what are the components we're announcing today as a solution? It's a combination of products, software, and services. So jumping to slide five, there's basically kind of things deployed at the endpoint and things deployed back at the head end. So we'll walk through all of those, and then we'll walk you through some scenarios to better understand how this gets deployed. When I received my CVO installation, I really received two devices. Cisco 800 series router, which that router can be a wired or wireless router, relatively small footprint, as well as a Cisco IP phone. So those two devices are at the endpoint of the Cisco Virtual Office solution, standard hardware devices that we have in the portfolio today. To enable that,
Fred, let me just add, the router obviously is a standard router that we've been selling for several years now. There are features in that router that come directly from the internal work we did on the incubation of the Cisco Virtual Office over the last 6 years. For example, it's both a wired and wireless router. It actually supports two SSIDs. And one of the features that makes the Cisco Virtual Office both safe and secure and unique is that this router supports split tunneling. which is a very important aspect to all enterprise customers, such that the way it's deployed and set up, the enterprise worker will take advantage of three ports on the back that directly go back to their corporate headquarters location, and take advantage of one of the SSIDs, which is actually broadcast in a stealth mode. The family, if you will, has its own dedicated port, and their traffic is split tunneled directly to whomever their internet service provider. And also, they have their own SSID. So the family, if you will, or private traffic is completely separate and cordoned off from any VPN traffic. And that's one of the feature aspects that really makes this viable in terms of how do we ensure that we're not mixing personal and public traffic? How do we ensure that my kids' IM traffic is not being backhauled through the Cisco network, and just addresses all of those privacy issues? Fred?
So that's the remote site, and then on the at the head end, there's a Cisco 7200 series router there that is actually the aggregation point for all these remote connections. And there we have a combination of the software running the Cisco Security Manager for managing security policy and configuration, Secure ACS for access control, and then we have some software, as Bob talked about earlier, which came from our own development and internal rollout of Cisco Virtual Office to really manage the deployment and that zero-touch deployment we talked about, and those software features on the endpoint that, again, Bob was just speaking about, so that when that device out of the endpoint comes up, makes a connection back to your service provider, connects back to the head end, it can pull down configuration information, self-configure, self-provision, and implement that zero-touch deployment. So there are a lot of new software features and capabilities in the solution that enable the Cisco Virtual Office.
And let me just add, the genesis for the Cisco Virtual Office is obviously we've been involved with VPN and telecommuting technologies for years. This program started really as an incubated program out of one of our engineering teams about 6 years ago, and organically grew within the company as providing a secure, low-cost means for workers to either extend their day or for remote workers who don't really have an office to have the same set of voice and data and soon video capabilities in a home or remote location. As teleworking has needed to, I'll say, uplift itself in terms of becoming more sophisticated and more secure, we would have our customers come to us on their visits to Cisco to say, you know, we're thinking about implementing a teleworking program or expanding what we're doing. We'd like to understand what Cisco does in this regard and learn from Cisco best practices and what kind of equipment are you deploying. So we began to share with certain customers what we were doing internally, and that really led to the suggestion by several key customers that we should begin to think about packaging the software that we internally developed around this, together with our security software, together with our product offerings, as a teleworker solution. So at this stage, we probably have 20 or so customers who are actually live Cisco Virtual Office users around the world. And though we're just announcing this publicly today, we've got quite a bit of experience with this solution, and it's really pulled together. The one piece that we're adding here as part of the launch, in addition to productizing this internal software management that Fred talked about, is the last part on this slide 5. We have partnered with our support group in the customer advocacy organization at Cisco called Advanced Services. This is a team that works with Cisco customers generally to provide planning, design, and implementation services for networks large and small. So as an option to any CVO customer, we can, in fact, turnkey the solution in terms of the installation deployment on the IT side, or provide some sort of lesser consulting services. And again, in this day and age where things are complex and solutions need to get up rapidly, that was something that was requested by customers. The last point I want to make is when implemented with the Cisco Virtual Office IT software side, management software, this is a very lightweight solution. As we'll talk about soon, we have over 12,000 users using CBO today, and it's managed full-time by only two IT staff. So we're getting excellent leverage both in terms of productivity out of our employees as well as excellent leverage in terms of the cost to manage and deploy the service from an IT standpoint. Fred?
Yeah, no, and just to echo that, I think that, you know, that zero-touch deployment is one of the things that really has taken away, you know, the number of support calls or something, because, you know, speaking firsthand experience, out of the box, you plug it in and it works. There's no going to command line interface, going to web interface. So, you know, as marketing would sometimes say, you know, zero-touch deployment might be, yeah, but this really is, the user doesn't have to do anything. As I was telling Bob the other day, so much so that my Cisco Virtual Office was kind of wired and in my office in a way that my wife said, this is just atrocious, you got to clean this mess up. And so I was somewhat hesitant to unplug everything, worried that when I plug it back in, I might have to actually do something. And happy to say that unplugging, moving, and totally plugging back in, everything came back instantly. So the zero-touch deployment really works. So what I'd like to do now is maybe, I think, you know, sometimes we hear, well, yeah, but I have VPN today. How does this really enable or change something different? And if you jump to the next slide, you know, from an office experience, you know, when I'm in the office, I have my Mac laptop. I'm roaming the building. I'm on the wireless network. I go to my office. I have voice services. My phone's on the desk. I have directory services, voicemail, everything I need to work in the office. At the end of the day, when I pack it up and leave, I can close my laptop, throw it in a bag, drive home. When I get there, you know, I can simply open my laptop, and because I have a Cisco Virtual Office, it actually finds that, you know, wireless access point at the Cisco Virtual Office, connects transparently, and I'm instantly as if I'm back on the Cisco LAN. So I have all the network connectivity, all the services, without having to fumble for a token or fumble for a password or try to get the right applications configured. I'm right back on the network instantaneously. So, one, much more productive and easier for me, but also less likely to create a support call where I've got to call and say, hey, I can't get this working, or I've got some complex problem, which might actually be my own personal Linksys access point problem, not the Cisco gear. But in the case of the CBO, we remove that issue. The other thing that happens is, if I've left the office and driven home, if Bob's called me to give me an update on something and I've got a message, you know, my phone connected to CBO at home, the message light's flashing, I can hit one button, retrieve that message, forward it to someone else, look at the directory, and handle whatever I need to from a voice perspective with all the same features that I would have in the office. And so it really is that transparent, seamless transition from office to remote worker that we enable with this. And as Bob talked about, the split tunneling allows me to have, you know, my whole family network and that configuration connected to the same infrastructure but going out directly to the Internet. So you really do get a seamless transition, and which enables this productivity and takes away the support costs.
And one of the key underlying pieces of technology that we use here is we use our DM VPN technology that establishes a permanent site-to-site VPN tunnel between the remote location and the head end. One of the interesting aspects about using that technology that we uncovered in talking to customers, there is a class of customer, the financials fall into this, the banks, and certainly government, and certainly the military portion of the government, where there are certain regulations against taking a company or government-issued laptop off-premises to a private residence and then connecting back to that network via a standard DSL or cable connection. And the notion of using public infrastructure, the notion of using some sort of soft client to establish a VPN tunnel, perhaps arbitrarily, was felt that it was just not secure enough. When we began talking to those types of customers about the technology underlying the Cisco Virtual Office, many of them felt like this was indeed a much stronger, more secure, more permanent type of solution, and was and is acceptable for those remote access, remote teleworker types of solutions. So we're finding not necessarily new use cases, but I think the market for this is expanding based on the degree of security that we're enabling. So I wanted to pass that note along. The other note I wanted to pass along as you look at slide six, this virtual office experience, it really works anywhere. In other words, the router phones home. We had a marketing director who is based here in San Jose who went home to Israel. She had an ailing family member and had to go home for a few weeks. She literally put her 800 series router and her IP phone in her suitcase, got to wherever she was in Israel, plugged it into that local broadband connection, and voila, came up and she was back on the Cisco network. And in fact, people were calling her local San Jose extension, finding that she was actually physically in Israel, and everybody did the wow factor on that. So it's interesting in that the technology allows you to be anywhere or actually be in kind of a stealth mode, if you will, and there's all the benefits that you'd expect from that. Fred?
Yeah. So, we talked a little bit in the beginning, there's a lot of, this is good for the end user, it's good for the corporation. From the corporation perspective, there's clearly the security, this productivity boost you get, the zero-touch deployment. There's cost savings measured in a couple different ways, whether it's energy or productivity. We at Cisco have actually moved to, we have some connected workspace, and we've actually created environments where we're able to have less real estate space because we have more of a hoteling or a dynamic work environment. So, if Todd works remote 3 days a week, we don't need real estate for Todd all 5 days. So we have more of a community space, and Todd can come in, get on the network, have a place to work during the day. When he leaves at the end of the day, it's not necessarily his space, it's there for the next person. So we're able to actually accrue some real estate, energy kind of cost savings from that kind of deployment. From the end user, we've actually got some internal Cisco stories we can connect you with actual end users and their stories. But, Bob touched on, one of our marketing directors and had an ailing family member and how this enabled them to work remote. Bob doing briefings at odd hours, being able to work remote. I started my day at 5 a.m. with some calls, and so I was able to use Cisco Virtual Office, get up, jump right on the call at 5, work for about 4.5 hours doing phone calls, and then commute back to the office in off-commute hours and still make those calls, all doing that while fairly transparently. I didn't lose any business connectivity or telecommunications functions. And so that kind of thing really helps the work-life balance and, employee retention because, employees, they're differentiating, their employers and the kind of benefits and services they have. And being able to have this work-life balance is a huge benefit for them. Bob touched on a couple of the use cases. We talked a little bit about, home office user, and that might be, a person who works 1 day a week. Their policy is, hey, I'm going to work from home on Fridays, reduce, drive time and pollution and gas. Could be an employee. I have an employee on my team who is living in Utah, has chosen to live there for, work, family life issues, but I'm still able to have that employee on the team. He's there 5 days a week, but he works remote. It's very transparent. He's there. Could be a small branch office. Maybe you have several employees in a branch. The Cisco Virtual Office could enable multiple employees to have a remote office. Call center applications, so maybe it's more of a voice-enabled environment. Having the call routing and all those capabilities and endpoints important. And then Bob kind of touched a little bit on this one in the marketing director's case of throwing your stuff in a suitcase, but I might be accountant or some sort of consultant or services advisor person. I may go on site to a corporation for a week. I could have a small router and a phone in my suitcase, plug it in at that client site, and have connectivity as if I'm in a corporation. So we see a lot of use cases, and I'll jump ahead to slide 9. We can talk about a couple customers. One of the first ones I want to talk about was American Century Investments. So, financial services firm located in the Midwest part of the U.S. They have over 100 agents enabled, and their business model is very much, it's a lot of financial services, They have agents who sell services and talk to clients continuously. So for American Century Investment, this gives them a tremendous sort of business continuity opportunity. Being in that part of the country where a lot of their business is based, snowstorms are not uncommon, inclement weather is not uncommon. So should that happen, agents can continue to work remotely without having to commute to an office or, lose client contact because they can't get to their particular office at a particular geography. And because of the zero-touch deployment, they found it to be a very cost-effective way to enable remote teleworkers so they don't have to worry about if there's a hiccup of installation, I've got to send somebody on site or field lots of phone calls. So while they've got, just north of 100 agents, they're well on the way to expanding this rollout based on their early success. The second one is a energy provider in Denmark and called Dong Energy. In the case of Dong, they have a much larger deployment, thousands of employees, but there they have kind of a cultural environment where working remote is much more part of the culture, something that's almost expected. And so they're able to use this to, enable that remote workforce, which again is kind of culturally expected from their employees. And so they're able to deliver on that while, having all the flexibility and keeping that same productivity. They're, talking to scalability at 3,000 on their way to 6,000 employees. And so they kind of speak to that scale, which we have enabled. We've touched on a little bit at Cisco and Cisco of being able to scale this up. So, these are two different kind of profile companies kind of recognizing different benefits by enabling a remote workforce. Slide 11, there's clearly, we talked about green early on. As corporations have some sort of environmental sustainability program, enabling remote workers plays into that, whether it's helping reduce fuel consumption, emissions, or even potentially saving energy back at the home office, such as the Cisco Connected Workspace, being able to reduce the work footprint, less space, less heating and air conditioning. Here in the Bay Area, we have spare air days. This summer, I think we've been at a dozen or so. I could almost envision a corporation that has an employee-based CBO enabled, when you have these spare air day, for instance, could say, hey, work from home, work remote, since that's enabled. But moving on, I want to talk a little bit about Cisco on Cisco, and Bob touched on that in our long history of sort of using Cisco Virtual Office and how we've grown it. We have over 12,000 employees enabled with CBO today across 70 countries, and so that's a mix. That's not all 100% remote workers. It's some 100% remote workers, some, a partial part of the week they work remote, and some may use it on occasion. But we've been able to scale this with the infrastructure Bob talked about to make it very successful and support that today with, two IT staff, which I think speaks to both the zero-touch deployment as well as some of the management applications we have. It's very automated all the way from procurement of the service, an employee requesting it, the approval by their manager, provisioning of the equipment, shipping. It's a very automated and simplified process, and that's where I think some of the services that Bob talked about earlier come into play. Depending on your business process and how you want to enable remote users, we're able to help companies roll that out. But again, this plays into some of our overall green initiatives and efforts to reduce CO2 emissions, as well as just empower the workforce to do things that help them have better work-life balance, and in the end, I think even get greater worker productivity. We've been doing some briefings around the clock the last 24, 48 hours that this kind of service greatly enabled. And our goal is to double that, to get close to 30,000 users by 2010, which if you look at our total workforce is about 50%. So we clearly see this as a enabling technology. So with that, I'll kind of wrap it up, and we can turn it back over for questions. That's what we're announcing today. Again, bringing office caliber remote connectivity to preserve security and productivity for remote workers.
Let me add that this is really just a phase one announcement today. As additional applications become viable, we're going to move forward with adding products and adding software services. We do have a Cisco validated design for CBO, so everything we've been talking about today in terms of how it's used is something that internally we've gone through and designed and tested some of the things that you can look forward to in future phases, and I'm thinking the next phase will probably be 6 to 8 months out, will include mobility options, will include options for wide area acceleration and optimization, and of course video. With respect to wide area acceleration and optimization, if you think about what we're announcing today, this not only extends to a home office, but it can extend to a small branch. So the idea of pick your favorite big box retailer who's got 4,000 stores in the U.S., their ability to deploy a new routing infrastructure without the need of a truck roll in terms of just being able to send it out of there, having somebody physically connect it is of great benefit. And so I think over the course of the next 2 years, you'll hear us announce different services as well as qualify different types of Cisco products for this. So in addition to the 800 series that we're announcing today, we'll be qualifying other low-end routers and mid-range routers, as well as different types of phones and ultimately different headends. So with that, operator, we'd like to open the call up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please dial star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. And the first question comes from Daniel O'Connell. Please proceed.
Hi there. Thanks for the presentation. This is Dan O'Connell of Gartner. Just have a quick question here, or actually a few questions. Do you have channel partners for this, or is this a service kind of being retailed by Cisco, and is it being managed by SmartNet? And finally, I'm just wondering if any future evolutions of this will be integrated with WebEx.
Great question. So let's break that up into pieces. So with the announcement today, we are, in fact, selling this direct, and it will likely be fulfilled through our partner relationships. With respect to the advanced services, we're offering that initially through Cisco Customer Advocacy, but it's our expectation that as we roll this into future phases, we're going to engage our channel partners, and in fact, we fully expect that they're going to be a key element in driving success here, especially for the commercial and SMB sector. But because this is a solution approach, and because there's different pieces of software, and because it may be a slightly longer sale than partners are typically used to, we're wanting to be judicious in how we roll this out and make sure that we have all of our documentation and training for them up to the level that they would expect. There is a SmartNet aspect to this because the products that are that we talked about today that are part of the announcement are all standard Cisco offerings, so they carry with that the SmartNet component. And there was one other thing you asked.
WebEx?
For the WebEx, yeah.
WebEx. Yeah, so WebEx is one of those future services along with video that we're very interested in integrating, and we're trying to make sure that we understand what the value proposition is and how that can be delivered. So do look for that in the future.
Thank you.
Next question.
You have no questions at this time.
Could we do another prompt for questions?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please dial star followed by two. Questions to be answered in the order received, please press star one to begin.
Operator, there's not a question. The one thing I wanted to point out, Bob, that we didn't really touch on, and it kind of gets the first question there about users, SMB, and enterprise. From a cost perspective, we didn't really touch on the cost of deployment and, when you look at ROI and some of the trade-offs. So when you look at the solution, we're deploying, at the endpoint, each user gets obviously a router and an endpoint phone, and we need the router infrastructure back at head-end with the associated software. So if you look at a, and this maybe is a, a successful enterprise, but a roughly 300 employee deployment, that if you amortize those costs out over all the infrastructure, the endpoints, as well as the head-end devices, it gets you to about a $700 per user cost price point. So obviously, as we, we want to look at SMB or go down to smaller organizations, there's an opportunity to partner with service providers and others to help drive down that either initial cost or do it as a service. That $700 I talked about is a upfront kind of CapEx cost. That's not a subscription or an annual fee. So we do think there's other models and partners will help us get there to grow the market, particularly some smaller organizations.
Yeah, thanks for picking up on that, Fred. I would also add that we're not positioning the Cisco Virtual Office as the telecommuting solution for everyone. This is really targeted at permanent teleworkers or workers or high value workers who need the kind of broadband, wired, wireless voice video data capabilities. So obviously, we at Cisco are great believers in this because we think it's a productivity issue and enhancement. Other organizations may view teleworking differently or may view that, using a soft client through a dial connection is just fine. The price point, and we have, as I mentioned, many customers already using this, does not seem to be a barrier to entry for the kind of permanent site-to-site VPN connection along with IP phone. We haven't really had any pushback at that price point. So, but again, it's probably not targeted for every person in every enterprise across the globe.
Operator, do we have any questions?
Yes. And your next question comes from line of Lenny Oram. Please proceed.
Hi. I'd like to ask about the green aspect. You mentioned a couple of times reducing auto emissions and reducing carbon footprint. I'd like to know if you've taken into account the carbon emissions of somebody working from home, putting the lighting on, putting the heating on, and also with the auto emissions, did you take into account the increased likelihood that people will use the car more during the day, that, they're working at home, they might pop out to the supermarket, they might pop out to something else?
Well, obviously there's different scenarios here. The one scenario that we have done some math on is my vice president works in San Jose and lives in San Francisco, and he commutes, I believe it's 54 miles each way, and takes him a good hour to hour and 20 minutes each direction. So we've done the carbon footprint calculation that if he works from home one day a week, as he does, he actually saves about 3 tons of carbon dioxide per year. I think that if you add to that his personal savings in terms of fuel, is going to be significant, as well as his increased productivity in terms of that 2 to 3 hours a day is not lost. Obviously, he's not then tired when he gets to work after a long drive, not tired when he gets home, and can be have a better family life. So there's qualitative and quantitative benefits in addition to the hard CO2 numbers, and I think that in aggregate across pools of workers, these can be substantial.
Okay. Did you actually measure their energy use at home? His energy use at home when you were working at his carbon footprint?
Well, we didn't measure it. We had a discussion about it, and he's one of many people who. His IP phone will be powered all the time, as will his router, and he's running off a laptop computer. So the energy consumption, the incremental energy consumption for him being at home, I think, is very small over and above what it is already.
Okay, but I can appreciate that in his instance that it's far outweighs. But what about telecommuters that are only, you know, that might their commute might have been a one-hour train journey, and then they're at home and during the winter time they're running the heating for the entire house as opposed to the heating for an office which is shared amongst the little workers?
So we haven't run those calculations. I think it's a fair point to say what are we offsetting. I think that generally the research that has been done and the research that we've done indicates the biggest core set of polluters are vehicles on the road and airplanes in the air. And so if we can just focus on, you know, what dent are we making in that portion of the equation, we're making some significant progress, and that's what we're trying to do. That's the statement we're trying to make here.
Yeah, and you make a really good point. If you're an area, a geographical area that has, you know, very, very effective mass transit, then that may provide you an option that is, you know, more green and more energy efficient to get from, you know, your home to your office. You know, unfortunately, a lot of corporations or locations are such where that isn't possible. So this does, if I think of American Century Investment, you know, they're distributed out across the Midwest. They don't have that option. So there's a lot of companies and business cases where they don't have that option. But you do bring up a point. If I can use mass transit and do a lot of things, I'm already reducing my carbon footprint by doing so.
You know, and the other aspect of this announcement is the casual teleworker is one aspect, and we're talking about the green aspect. We have a lot of both our customers and our own employees who don't have an office. In other words, they are remote because they choose to be remote, or they were remote before they worked for Cisco and they choose not to travel to a branch or headquarters location. And so for them, in terms of their green profile, it really hasn't changed. What we've changed for them is that we've reduced the need for them to travel extemporaneously, and so I think there's some benefit there. But I think your point overall is a key one, that there are always offsetting energy requirements in all of these solutions. Do we have another question?
Not at the moment. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please dial star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please dial star followed by two. Questions to be answered in the order received, please press star one to begin. You have no questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you, operator. And thank you, Bob and Fred, for presenting to our analyst community. For those on the phone, thank you for your participation in today's teleconference. As a reminder, I will be sending out a short survey immediately after the call, and I would like to thank you in advance for your candid feedback. If you have any additional follow-up questions, please contact Todd Hansen at todhanso@cisco.com. Thank you, and have a good day.